Hare Krishna. Just a short report on yesterday's Gita Jayanti. I had some feedback from some devotees outside of Hungary who were watching on the podcast. I'm sorry that you couldn't necessarily understand some little commentaries that I was giving as we were going along. And I was actually thinking that next year it would be good if someone was actually there and either doing one of two things, either typing in a subtitle in English or actually speaking, dubbing over the Hungarian that I was speaking some English. Problem is that manpower is short because Gita Jayanti happens to be during the Prabhupada Marathon, and so there's really a minimal amount of devotees back, and but we'll keep that in mind for next year, for when we perhaps we can be doing that, when we're streaming out the actual video recording. And next year I hope to be able to do it, do more Gita Jayantis than this year. In any case, it was a wonderful experience for me, and sometimes when you sort of see me sitting there, I'm not just quite reading the Sanskrit. In other words, it's not the only thing that I'm doing. I'm also trying to keep pace that everyone sort of finishes the readings at the same time, in this case the translation, at the same time as the mantra, and saying Swaha together. And I look around, just keep an eye, everything's going all right, and simultaneously I'm also reading the English as well as the Sanskrit, because although I know most of the verses off by heart, but there's so much going on that comprehension is easier if I'm just looking at it in English. And then I'm also trying to understand what Krishna's saying. And for me yesterday, some of the real main message that came across too, one was Krishna's repeated reassurance to spiritual practitioners that they're going to actually achieve their goal. Krishna is really reassuring. So many places, there's two ways that he reassures it. Generally to devotees, he says that you'll achieve me. So he says, man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaja mam namaskuru mami vaisashi satyam te pratyajani priyo sime mami vaisashi satyam atparam matparayana. So there he speaks about me. And then when he talks about other yoga systems, generally he talks about how they're going to achieve the supreme, how they're going to achieve the supreme destination, and so on. So in other words, Krishna is very encouraging, is very broad-minded. Anyone who's progressing, or anyone who's on a progressive path and wants to actually understand the truth, wherever they may be, whether they may be gyanis or yogis or karmis, and they're willing to follow the regulations and the restrictions of scripture in order to achieve that, Krishna's encouraging them. And of course the other point that comes up is Krishna's broad-mindedness. One thing is that he's encouraging, but he's encouraging because he's so broad-minded. He's taking into account anyone who's making an effort, and if they follow the Vedic system, because the Vedic system is to achieve him, so if they follow the Vedic system, wherever they are, whether they're meditating or they're speculating on the nature of Brahman, ultimately they'll come to him. If, as in the end of the 16th chapter, Yashastra Vidimutsirija, if people actually just reject Vedic authority and they try to do things their own way, nasa siddhim. There he says they don't achieve siddhi. So this is where Krishna becomes very, when it comes to speculators who reject scriptural authority, and when it comes to demons, Krishna becomes very intolerant at that stage. So, tam aham vishatam krura, he says, yes, these demons, I push them down into the lowest regions of ignorance, and they suffer their birth after birth. So it's really heavy. But everywhere else, for anyone who's following the Vedic system, for anyone who's trying, Krishna is very accommodating. He's very broad-minded. But certainly he's making a real distinction. Of course, in modern commentators, they don't see this holistic picture that Krishna is presenting, but rather they present this type of any path that you go on is leading you to the same place, which is misleading. Their version of that is that if you practice yoga, then at the end of this life you're going to get to the same mystical, impersonal energy as if you practice bhakti or if you practice jnana. It's all right, it's all the same. But that's not what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying, yes, if you practice yoga, you will achieve the supreme destination, but first you're going to have to get the benefit of the yogis. Either you merge into the impersonal Brahman, and from there, by the association of personalities like Ganesh and Lord Shiva, then you get to practice devotional service and go to, like that, you're able to elevate yourself, or you can fall back down into the material world and get association of devotees, and gradually you progress like that, or even the karmis. They go from being karmis to becoming gyanis, to becoming yogis, to becoming bhaktas. So it's not that in one life everything is achieved. And therefore Krishna talks about non-devotees in different terms than he talks about devotees. Bhaktyamama vijanati. He said, no, actually the only people who can understand me are devotees. And if you can't understand, only devotees can understand Krishna, then only devotees can achieve Krishna. Same thing he says about the universal form, which is not even actually his direct form. But there Krishna is saying that bhaktastu anyaya sakya, that only those who are devotees are going to be able to understand even what the universal form is all about. But Krishna is enthusing us, and so Srila Prabhupada's words and encouragement that we should follow the process of devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead, is not something that Prabhupada made up. It's not something that isn't echoed by Krishna himself, but rather Krishna is saying the very same thing in Bhagavad Gita, and he keeps repeating it over and over and over again, that we should keep on persevering. And our good fortune is that because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has really forbidden this indirect path, this Vedic path, because people will get lost in it in Kali Yuga. They won't see the greater picture. We've come by His mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, to take the direct path of devotional service. And if we Shastram Vizamutsvija, if we follow the process of sadhana bhakti as outlined for us in scripture, then we achieve the result. If we don't, then in the sixth chapter, then Krishna answers to Arjuna what happens if you don't do that. And yes, you may have to continue in the next life. But otherwise, if we do the right thing, follow the rules and regulations in the right way, and this was also something that just sort of sparked on me in the 12th chapter, where Krishna first describes spontaneous devotional service, where someone is already serving Krishna out of love. And then he says, well, but if you don't have that, then just follow the rules and regulations. And if you follow the rules and regulations, then you'll develop a desire to attain. And of course, sometimes our minds rebel against this type of thing. Why do I have to do something I don't want to do? And Krishna's answer is because your heart's still dirty, so you don't want to do it. But if you purify your heart, one of the things that will awaken as a result of that purification is the spontaneous desire to attain Krishna. And when that awakens and becomes very strong, then that in itself replaces all the impetus of the obligations and the duty that Krishna also emphasizes throughout the Gita, and our desire because of affection for Krishna, that we want to attain Krishna, that will naturally propel us forward. And that's Krishna's recommendation in the Bhagavad Gita. Ultimately, he wants us to learn this process of sarana bhakti, to practice the process of sarana bhakti, so that we want to achieve him. And then once we want to achieve him, so he says, Mami kam saranam braja, that you're already in a fully surrendered state, or at that time, when you really have this great desire to attain Krishna, then surrender becomes very, very easy. And that Mami kam saranam braja, these four words that are really in essence, the motto, the logo, or the fundamental message of Bhagavad Gita, anything you should be able to really boil down into just a few words. What is the message of Gita? What is Krishna trying to tell us? Just surrender to me. And if we surrender to Krishna, then all our problems will be gone. But because we have a hard time believing in that. Krishna speaking another 699 verses to us in order to convince us that that is actually the truth. Well, he doesn't speak 699, but there are altogether 699 to try to convince us to surrender to Krishna, and our problems will be over. And because we live in Kali Yuga, and that's a difficult thing for us to understand, therefore we need to repeatedly read the Bhagavad Gita to stay in a convinced state until we also come to that stage where Krishna says, then you'll awaken the desire, then you'll want to attain me. When we want to attain Krishna, then that whole business of surrendering becomes very easy. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jaya.